The scripture reading today is from the book of John, chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I have appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Topeka First United Methodist Church exists to help people become and then grow as followers of Jesus. And the hope is, as people become and grow as followers of Jesus, that their lives in relationship with the world around them will play some small part in that prayer that we pray, that God's kingdom would come here on earth just as it is in heaven. More formally, our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And as we seek to do that together, we talk about three simple words that can guide our structure and our thinking and our decisions about how we do what we do and why we do it, to help people connect and grow and serve. The idea being that as we are intentionally committed to connecting with God and with one another, it helps us to be a part of the body of Christ. And as we are intentionally committed to growing, it helps us to be intentional about becoming more like Jesus. And as we are intentionally committed to serving, it enables us to join Jesus in ministry. All of this, all of what we do as followers of Jesus, is about intentional commitments. Nobody grows as a follower of Jesus by accident. And so for these conversations and these weeks this November, we've been talking about what it looks like and what it means as individuals and as a community of faith for us to grow as followers, as disciples of Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, we began the conversation, and in that beginning conversation, we talked about what it means for us to be members of the body together. We looked at the words of the Apostle Paul, specifically from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, where he says, "You," plural, "are the body of Christ, and individually, members of it." We talked about the reality that in order for a body to be healthy, it requires a diverse set of members connected to one another and functioning in healthy ways so that the body can be and do what the body is supposed to be and do. In the same way, as a church, as a body of Christ, we are called to be made up of diverse members and to be connected and functioning in healthy ways so that the church can live out its mission in the world. Last week, then, we take the conversation to the next level, and we talk about what it looks like and what it means for us to be intentional about growing to be more like Jesus. We talked about those things that Jesus did that he invites us to do, and those things that Jesus told us to do as followers. And so we reflected briefly on questions about how do we grow in our Christ-likeness? How do we become more shaped and formed by the scriptures? How do we become more committed and connected to our relationship with God? How do we become more committed to living a life of sacrificial love? And so this morning, as we take the conversation to the next level, we extend the conversation once more to talk about having been connected to the body and being intentional about growing to become more like Jesus. How do we join Jesus in ministry in the world? How do we live all of this out? Now, I've shared a little bit over the last weeks that I have become increasingly fascinated this fall by conversations and questions about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to live as a disciple. Because one of the things that I have become increasingly aware of is that especially in the mainline church, there seems to have been a blurring and a lessening of clarity around what it means to be a follower of Jesus, especially in terms of what it means to be a follower of Jesus that is different than or distinct from being a polite Midwesterner or an upstanding member of society or a good person. Being good and kind and polite is not the same as being a follower of Jesus. And so in this conversation about what it means for us to follow Jesus together, it comes back to the question of intentionality, of wanting to be connected to the body and to God, to be able to grow in our love of and our knowledge of God and God's love for us so that we can live that out in the world. In that conversation about what it looks like and what it means to be a follower, this text that we read from John 15 provides a great example and illustration of what that looks like, an image and a metaphor in addition to the body image that we've been speaking about. Again, Vicki pointed you towards John 15 already. I'd invite you to go back if you had your thumb or a bookmark or something in there and take a look at that text, because before we jump into the 12th verse of John's gospel in the 15th chapter, I want us to back up and look at those first 11 verses briefly. It's an image that I believe is helpful as we speak of following Jesus together. In those first 11 verses of John 15, Jesus is unpacking an image or a metaphor about what it means for him to be the true vine who is tended to and cared for by God, who is the vine grower, and then each of us who would be connected to Jesus are branches. And as branches who are connected to the true vine, who are tended to by the vine grower, we are invited to bear fruit. Specifically, to bear lasting fruit and good fruit. So coming out of that image, Jesus begins in the 12th and 13th verse with some lines that are very similar and very familiar to what we saw in 1 John last week. Here we go with 15, 12, and 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And as Jesus continues then to unpack what that looks like and what that means for us to lay down one's life for one's friends, Jesus is clear that we have been told, as he has experienced, who God is and what God expects of us. We are now called friends, we are told in this text. And as he moves to a close in verses 16 and 17, he digs deeper into this image of what it means to be connected as branches to the true vine that we might bear fruit. He points out that we did not choose God, but God chose us. And as we are chosen, we are appointed to go. I think that's often missed in this text. We are to go so that we might bear fruit. Not just to bear fruit for our sakes, so we have something to eat. Not just to bear fruit for our loved ones, but we are to go and to bear fruit for the community and the world around us. This fruit is to be fruit that will last. And the overarching theme in all of this, he makes clear, these commandments are given to us that we may love one another. Be branches connected to the true vine, so that you might bear fruit, fruit that is lasting. And this is how the world will know that we are followers of Jesus who love one another. In this conversation about fruit and lasting fruit and good fruit, I find myself thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, Paul's teaching in Galatians. It's the fifth chapter, verses 22 and 23, and I'm not going to invite you necessarily to open that up because I want you to just look at the screen for this one verse and note how it opens. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit, and it continues. Now, until just recently, I would have told you with great confidence that this verse opened by talking about the fruits of the Spirit, plural. But a commentator recently pointed out to me that it is singular, fruit of the Spirit, as if to indicate to us that we don't get to pick and choose which one of the nine we like the best. It is not a buffet. It is not a smorgasbord. It is one complete unit, the fruit of the Spirit. And so for those of us who would seek to be branches connected to the vine, tended to by the vine grower, our lives will reflect that relationship with God as they further exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Collectively, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. And when I look at that list of nine, there are some days that I could tell you I'm doing an okay job with some of those, right? And if we think of them as the fruits of the Spirit, like, you get to just pick which one you want to grow in. You know, if you like some joy and you want to focus on joy, you do that. You're missing the entirety of the call and the invitation in this text. The fruit of the Spirit, a life that reflects connection to the vine grower working through the true vine, reflects these nine. And so I invite you, as you think about the fruit that your life bears, how are you doing with those nine things? Now, as we talk about growing and living in relationship to God in Christ, we do that here uniquely in our United Methodist context. And as members together in a United Methodist community of faith, we make promises to support Christ's ministry through the church in five ways. If you were in worship last week, we did that last week as new members joined and took those commitments and promises for themselves. And then we as the body respond back and we make those promises again, renewing our covenant faithfully to participate in Christ's ministry in those ways. That's our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And I would contend to you that if you are a member of the church, your promises to do those things is not simply about the significance or the success or the well-being of the institution, but rather it is about helping you grow to become more like Christ and helping you join Jesus in ministry in the world. So if you're one of those persons who's not yet connected to this community of faith, maybe you've not yet made those five promises to serve Christ through this body, my sense would still be that if you think about how you live your life in those five ways, it helps shape and form so that you might grow closer to who God is inviting you to be. And so briefly, I invite you this morning to think about each of those promises. The promise to support Christ's ministry here through your prayers is a promise to pray for the well-being of the church, to pray that the resources of the church would be stewarded and used wisely, to pray that the structures of the church would be healthy so that we might live as best as we can in systems that make sense, to pray for leaders, whether that's staff or elected folks or the people who work behind the scenes to help the church be the church in countless ways. I invite you to be intentional about praying for the well-being of the church. Now, when it comes to your promises to be present, this is not just about being physically here, though it is that, but it's also about being connected and being present, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually and mentally as well. When you come into this space, I invite you to reflect on what it means to do the work of the people. And that's the word, liturgy's best translation, is the work of the people. And so when you leave at the end of worship on any given week, I invite you not to just reflect over lunch about how well Donna did on the organ or the choir did with the anthem or the preacher did with the preaching, but to reflect on how you did growing in your relationship with God, finding what you could find, growing in ways that you could grow through being present in this place. The third promise that we make is related to our gifts, and this is financial resources. This is about how we define our relationship with the stuff that we have that we can buy with the money in our lives. And as followers of Jesus, we are invited to prioritize our stuff in different ways, to not get caught up in the accumulation of things, not to be defined by the wealth that we have or the material things that we have, but to be aware that everything that we have comes first to us as a gift from God, and that we are invited then to steward and to share those resources back to Christ's ministry through the church. And so as you think about what it means to support Christ's ministry with your gifts, I invite you to be intentional about giving in proportion to your income and about working toward the tithe as the goal as you do that. Fourthly, as we make promises to support Christ's ministry through our service, it's all that stuff that Jill was talking about with the mission team and more, right? We serve outside the walls of the church when we go into the community and the world, and we serve inside the walls of the church, whether it's singing in the choir or ringing with the bells or being an usher or teaching Sunday school or the countless other things that we can do. It's about making an intentional commitment to use our time and to use our talents to be investing in Christ's work through the church. And then finally, we make promises to support Christ's ministry with our witness. This is the one that I find makes many United Methodists most uncomfortable, because we're talking about sharing your faith with others. And at times people will say back to me, but Pastor, faith is supposed to be a private thing, right? Like, I don't want to impose my faith on other people. I would invite you to let go of the notion that faith is private. Faith is personal, and it should be personal for you, and your relationship with God should be personal in a way that makes a difference, but I invite you to think about how you talk about that with others. Now, that's not probably best done with a bullhorn on the corner, right? But that's how you know your story and tell your story in relational ways with people who you live in relationship and community with. It's thinking about how you invite other people into God's story as you tell them about what God is doing in your life. And so I invite you to be intentional about that. As you think about 2018, who will you invite and how will you cultivate those conversations as you tell your story about what Jesus is doing in your life and invite others into that story as well? We are invited to live in this community and to support Christ's ministry together with prayers and presence and gifts and service and witness. Now, this whole following Jesus adventure, this life as a disciple, it is a lifelong journey. And I was reminded of that in a profound way over the last couple of weeks when I was introduced to this group of people. And I want you to just see this photograph briefly. It's a group of about a dozen different people. They are members of a church. And Good News Choir, the congregation is not seeing the picture either, so you're not left out on this one today. This is a picture of Grace Baptist Church in McMinnville, Oregon. And the reason that this community of faith has captivated me so is that it started when a group of 80-year-olds made the intentional decision together to move to the same nursing home so that they could launch a church there. Let that sink in for just a minute, right? They are 80 years old. They are entering a season of their life where they are going to a care facility, and they say to one another, let's start a church and create a community where people can grow in relationship with Christ. Now, if you look at the picture, you see on the left, there's a young adult woman there. This is not a worshiping community only for the nursing home. They invite the whole community in. The idea is that it is an intergenerational place where people gather for worship. And one of the cool things about their story is that as they began to form and to grow, they did that thing that new churches often do. They started saving money because the idea was that someday they would build a building of their own. And then as they got rolling, they realized they didn't need to build a building. They had a space where they could worship. And what they're doing now with the resources that they had been putting towards a building is they are intentionally investing in supporting children and families in foster care. They've decided that's where their heart is, and that's their mission. So they get together weekly for worship to help people connect with Jesus, and then they seek to share their resources in the community so that people and children in the foster care system have additional support and resources that they need. Their story captivates my imagination. I've reflected on it, thinking about this summer, we had groups from our church who went and visited a bunch of different care facilities in Topeka, and they were kind of getting the sales pitches and learning about and thinking about where might be that next move for that next phase of life. And I think, what if we could do this? What if we could do this several times? What if we could go launch campuses of First United Methodist Church in different care facilities around Topeka? And so we would gather people together. Maybe they watch the live stream of this 11 o'clock service that comes into that space. There are leaders there who help with the small group facilitation and serving communion and be the church in those places. It's inspiring and exciting for me to think about this, but the possibilities are even greater than those care facilities. I mean, where else can we imagine that we could go and be the church, that we could go and bear fruit throughout the city of Topeka over the course of the next decade? We can do this as we be the body together, as we grow in our love and our Christ-likeness, and as we seek to join Jesus in ministry in the world. And so again, I invite you in just a few moments as we receive this morning's offering. If you've come with your commitment card prepared and ready to place as an offering to God for the coming year, do that. All of the members of the congregation had one sent to them in the mail this last week. If you've left yours at home or you did not receive one, the ushers will have a few. And if you want to flag them down, you can get an additional one from them. I also would let you know that today is not like the last day to do this, right? So you're welcome to bring your commitment card to church next Sunday. You're welcome to bring it by the church office at any point. But one of the invitations that I would extend is to bring it to worship and to let that be an offering and an act of worship for you, to give to God as a time in this place that which you desire to do in supporting Christ's ministry through the church in 2018. How is it that you will support the ministry of Christ in the church with prayers, with presence, with gifts, with service, and with witness? How is it that you will put the gifts you've been given to service in your following of Jesus in the world? Now, I'll tell you, following Jesus, especially over the last decade, has been the most important and impacting and significant thing in my life. And I suspect that you could be quick to dismiss that. You know, you could say, of course, Pastor, of course you'd say that. What a pastory thing to say, right? But I'll tell you that there have been times in my life when I've been a pastor and I've been more or less consumed by the professional role that that entails, right? I learned all the stuff you were supposed to learn so that I could do all the things that you were supposed to do, except there have been times in my life when it was missing the heart of following Jesus. And being a follower of Jesus makes all the difference. It's not just about eternal reward, it's about this life, a life that can be different and filled with joy. And so I invite you, as you think about 2018, to live into those promises that you've made, to make them maybe for the first time, to support Christ's ministry through the church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, so that together, as a body, we might be members here who are growing to become more like Jesus and joining Jesus in ministry in the world. Will you join me in praying together? God, we confess to you that so often we come into this place on Sunday mornings consumed, stressed, anxious, worried. We do our best to focus our hearts, our minds, our attention on you and our time here. But then as we go back out into our rhythms and our routines of life, we are quickly consumed again by the stress and the worry and the anxiety. We know on an intellectual level that everything that we have comes as a gift from you. Yet we struggle to live this out, and we struggle to live by faith. Free us, O God. Free us from our worries and our anxieties. Fill us with an assurance of your love. help us to live as branches, connected to the true vine, so that we may be nurtured and cared for and tended by you, the vine grower, with the ultimate hope that we would bear fruit, good fruit, lasting fruit, that would invite others to journey with us and to know your great love for them. All of this we pray, God, grateful and hopeful, and in your holy name. Amen.